Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. So ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready.
KMOX News Time, 8:32. Happy Thursday, everybody. It's almost the weekend. It's already October 17th, and it sure feels like it. 41 degrees outside. Charlie Brennan is joining us here in Studio B.
Good morning, Debbie.
Along with Brad Young of Harris Dahl Fisher & Young.
Hey, Debbie, good morning.
And Amy Markscores.
Good morning.
All right, this probably isn't the best news. Let's see if we can solve all of our educational issues here. But the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education finds that fewer than half of Missouri students are performing at grade level in English and math. That's across the state. Fewer than half. State public and charter schools had 49% of students proficient in English, 42% in math. It was the second year students took a more difficult test, though, that caused steep drops between 2017 and 2018. Normandy had the lowest test scores of any district in the state, with only 15% passing English and 7% passing math. Any thoughts on these low test scores, Charlie?
Well, no quick thoughts. You know, I mean, it's really complicated, as we all know. Last year, we were told that the test scores were down because the test was too tough, and maybe it was, and the kids weren't ready for it. But that doesn't explain why we have a tough test this year, and the kids, either the test should have been changed or the kids should have been ready for it. You know, even in the top school districts, only 3 out of 4 kids, you know, like 74% are passing muster. So, I mean, that's bad, too. I think that there are some I think overall we have a lack of intellectual curiosity, in general in society, so there's that. And then we have situations where some kids are growing up in crime-filled neighborhoods, others without health care. And then there's kids who, you know, have families that are kind of, they might have fractured households with one parent doing the cooking, so the kids are instead playing video games. So, you know, there's probably a zillion reasons. But in Saturday's Boston Globe, real quickly, they took a look at African-American and Latino-American achievement, and they found that youngsters did better academically with better upward mobility when they were in blue-collar cities and towns like Malden, Revere, Everett, as opposed to homogeneous poverty pockets like Roxbury or Dorchester. And it was really very interesting when you have a mix of residents in an area, academic scores tend to go up as opposed to having, let's say, an all Latino, all Black, low income area.
So a plug for diversity in schools, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Brad?
Well, what occurs to me is that these test scores might actually be lower than what you just reported, because I know, at least from my own girls going through school, that a lot of times the schools would teach for the test. So if they're teaching for the test and those scores are still going down, that's a serious problem. And what occurs to me is I don't know how much time they're spending on actually teaching math and science as opposed to telling the kids that everyone's a winner. I mean, I don't know how much that impacts it, but I do know that that they need to spend time focusing on these kind of skills and not on some of the other fluffy things that I hear my daughters tell me about on a frequent basis.
Yeah, you know, as Charlie mentioned, there are a lot of factors. It depends on each area, on each school, on each family, and in each child within that school. And you're going to see trends probably in certain areas. If one area is an underserved area or perhaps where there is more crime, I mean, it's going to be difficult to focus on school. Or you could look at fractured families, or you could look at trends across the nation, how people are approaching school. You know, as Brad mentioned, are they focusing on math and science? Are they focusing on the fluff? what role does technology play in these test scores? Because we're seeing more and more that giving young kids cell phones and iPads and smartphones is not helping their brain development. They're losing not just the skills that you would learn from, say, reading a book or playing outside, but it's changing the way their brains are actually forming. And so, you know, there are so many reasons for this. It's not surprising, but it is, and it should be, incredibly concerning.
Yeah, I think it's all of the things that you've mentioned, but Amy, I was going to say, if no one said it, technology. Because even in, you know, homes with two parents who are, you know, drumming it all the time, do your homework, study, and giving the kids everything that you could possibly do to encourage academic excellence, the kids' attention spans are like gnats these days. Mm-hmm. My daughter's trying to read a book for her lit class, and she's having the hardest time because she says, I don't know, I read a page and I just, you know, her mind just drifts off and she can't picture it. It's like kids are so used to everything being fed to them on a screen that they can't focus anymore.
Right. And there are little skills. You know, I've tutored students for the past 16 years, and every school is different with their approach. But some schools, one, don't have textbooks anymore. And there is a skill to looking at a problem in a textbook and then transferring that problem to a piece of paper. And I know some people will transfer from the board, I guess the teacher will write on the board, or a screen, or they do their math online. I mean, you're losing these critical skills. Universities are finding that high schoolers, and I know this specifically from Mizzou, for instance, their school of journalism, high schoolers coming into Mizzou don't know how to take notes. They can't take handwritten notes. So there are some classes that don't allow the students to take notes on their computer because note taking is a skill. And it's harder. It's not. It doesn't come naturally. You have to learn how to take notes.
All right. Well, I think we solved that. There we go.
All right. Let's go. Call
yeah,
it a day.
I don't envy teachers. I mean, imagine having to teach kids when they have such a hard time just doing things like taking notes or sitting still or concentrating. We're going to talk more about paper plastic when we come back after we check traffic and weather together. It's 8:39. KMOX News Time, 8:42. Charlie Brennan, Brad Young, Amy Markscores. I'm Debbie Monterey. It's round two of OT and paper or plastic. For folks in Edwardsville, Illinois, it is going to cost you more if you use either paper or plastic bags at grocery stores and other large retailers. The City Council in Edwardsville approving a 10-cent fee on plastic and paper bags, making it the first city in this region to put the squeeze on those single-use bags. The tax is an effort to push people to bring their own tote bags for shopping. Brad Young, thumbs up or down on this?
Down. And the reason why I say down is because, you know, every time I go to the store, I always get plastic bags because, hello, I've got a dog, you know? I mean, so now all the dog owners in Edwardsville are going to have to go out and buy extra doggy bags instead of reusing the plastic bags that they could get from the store. So no,
I'll buy you
I'm down
one of those.
On that.
I'll buy you one of those little things that you can hook on your leash that has little doggy poop bags.
Okay, good.
Okay,
no more deprived people.
Right, all the dog owners in Edwardsville are going to suffer because of this. Yes.
But see, here's why I don't even like to use the grocery store bags for picking up the poop, because they always have holes in them and they're like horribly made, and who wants to have that happen when you have a
boy? So for all of you eating breakfast right now, please forgive us.
Sorry.
For the following.
Can we discuss this
Brad
last week?
Brad started it.
You
Amy?
Know,
go ahead, Charlie.
I was just going to say, I've seen this in California and elsewhere. It doesn't seem to be an owner's burden on the customer, really. And if you want plastic bags, just go to 14th Street across from Enterprise Center today. The homeless guys who had been sleeping on the grates on the sidewalk next to the big Enterprise Center have moved across the street along with tons of litter. It's incredibly unkempt, and there are plastic bags everywhere. So if the dog owners in Edwardsville need some, come to downtown St. Louis, 14th Street.
Yeah, what's that address again? My pencil broke. What's that address again?
It's right across the street.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to take on hell with a water pistol, as the saying goes, and it makes you sleep better at night, sure. I don't know exactly what this is going to do. I think Greta Thunberg might applaud it, but I don't think it's going to do much. And what's ironic is those plastic grocery store bags are literally, and the paper ones, The only thing I recycle, I'm not very good at recycling and repurposing. I use the paper ones. You can cut up the paper bags and use them to mail packages back. They make great, like, the brown paper for mailing packages. And I use the plastic ones for running clothes. I throw my running shoes in the plastic ones. And I get this genetically because my grandpa would always joke on vacation, all he needed was a Dierbergs bag and, like, a clean pair of underwear. And that's what he'd throw in his bag and travel. I use the plastic bags all the time. I have bought, I put my Dierbergs bag in a nicer bag now that I walk into Wellbridge because it probably looks a little tacky walking in with my grocery bags with my clothes in it. But I mean, you've got running shoes and sweaty clothes. I don't want to throw that in a nice bag. So I use my plastic bags to keep things sorted. At any rate, if it makes you feel better, do it. But those are the two things that,
you know,
I actually recycle and repurpose.
I say if the folks in Edwardsville are concerned, I applaud them. Greta Thunberg, is that her name?
I think it's Thunberg.
Thunberg.
I mean, she took her own dinghy across the Atlantic, didn't she? I mean, she, at least she walks the walk. You know, there are some environmentalists who will, like, fly to a conference on environmentalism. And here, you know,
But didn't she have a yacht escort?
I don't know if she did or not.
But it was on, like, wind and solar power, and she used a bucket for the bathroom.
Yeah, I don't want to malign her. And, you know, Edwardsville is a great community. If people are thinking outside the box, it may not solve all the environmental problems in the world. I understand that, but you can't fault them for trying.
Well, here's the other thing, too. People who shop at Aldi or Ruler Food
already have that, right?
It doesn't seem to stop people from shopping there. You either have buy the bags for, I don't know, they're like 10 cents, 50 cents, I don't know, or you bring your own. I just keep some in my car. That way I always have, you know, reusable bags in my car. I don't know why it's such a big deal.
Well, no, if they want to do it, it's like the paper straws.
Don't want to be told.
Not even that. Again, I just feel like sometimes when there are much, much bigger issues, it's funny that this is the route they're taking.
I'd like to see something positive
come from this. Like, the studies have shown the incredible 10 cents tax in Edwardsville is changing the trajectory.
I would say that the
world.
Plastic grocery bags are a bigger deal than straws because they are everywhere. They're in trees. They're on fences. They're blowing through the streets.
Let's face it, straws are nothing. It's the battery. What do you do with that? Right? And we all have batteries everywhere in all our appliances. How about your computer when you replace that, your laptop? Where do you think that goes? Like, recycle heaven? It's going to some dump. And the Lime Bike, I think, was the best example in St. Louis of the hypocrisy because Lime Bikes were in downtown St. Louis and we're all supposed to ride them and be, you know, the air would be clean. But then when it didn't work out, they just threw them in a big trash pile north of the Four Seasons in downtown St. Louis.
It's the equivalent of the person who goes to McDonald's and orders the jumbo size hamburger meal and gets a Diet Coke. I guess that's my point.
Well, if the folks in Edwardsville are doing that, you know, if they're polluting the rivers behind our backs, then shame on them. But there's no evidence that they are.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come home, is there evidence that I am a very sick person because I don't get enough sleep? There's yet another sleep study to discuss. It's 8:48. It's 8:52. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Amy Markscores, Brad Young, and Charlie Brennan. We're going to get to sleep in just a moment, but we
have... go to sleep?
Yes, I'm always thinking about sleep.
Okay.
I figure if you don't think about sleep, you get enough. If you're like me and you're always thinking about sleeping, there's an issue, but I'm always ready for a nap. A father who lost a son in the 2012 Sandy Hook massacre was awarded $450,000 in a defamation lawsuit against a conspiracy theorist who claimed the shooting never took place. This is a trial that took place in Wisconsin. James Fetzer co-authored a book entitled Nobody Died at Sandy Hook and apparently claimed that people who were killed there fake. Leonard Posner, apparently, the father who filed the lawsuit, faked his own son's death certificate, is what this guy claimed. So it's another legal victory for Sandy Hook parents. They've already won lawsuits against InfoWars host Alex Jones, who also claimed it was just actors. Your thoughts on the defamation award, Brad?
Well, the first thought that comes to mind, Debbie, is the fact that this is probably completely non-collectible. I mean, it's one thing to get a judgment. It's another thing to collect on that judgment. And no insurance would ever cover something like this. So the chances of actually collecting on the $450,000 are slim to none, and none is coming up fast. So it's a victory maybe it's an emotional victory, it's a moral victory, but there won't be any collection done. And then the second thing is that this demonstrates the concept that malice or the defamation requires an assertion of fact. It's not an assertion of an opinion. So to say someone's a moron or an idiot is an opinion, but to say this event never took place is an assertion of fact, which is why you could actually get the judgment, because it was an assertion of fact that was clearly wrong, done for the purpose of maligning the subject of the statement. So this is a good example of how this defamation actually works.
Thoughts,
yeah.
Amy?
Yeah, I mean, I hope there's something that the father can collect. You know, I know it is probably a moral victory, but absolutely this suit should have happened. It was defamation. It's nauseating to think about that he would claim not only that the event never happened, but that the parents themselves were faking the deaths of their own children. It's disgusting. It's nauseating. I'm glad that the lawsuit was won, and I hope that he gets as much as he can. Not that the money solves anything, but it's just saddening.
Nothing to add.
Makes you wonder, though, who bought that book? Like, who would buy that book?
Oh, my gosh.
Alex Jones, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so let's start with Charlie here. I don't know how much sleep you get at night, Charlie, but a new American Heart Association study suggests a risk of cancer and early death for those who sleep fewer than 6 hours a day, especially if you have other heart issues. Sleep medicine physician Dr. Thomas Seiler at SSM Health Sleep Services say not many of us get the recommended 8 hours, and that does lead to health concerns. But I guess the question, do you sleep more than 6 hours a night?
I hope to. And sometimes yes, sometimes no. And what I saw, I think, in that study was that smoking, actually a lack of sleep, is about the same as smoking cigarettes in terms of being detrimental to your health. So, hey, let's take naps. Let's get some sleep.
Brad?
You know, I never slept 6 hours a night in my life until I hit about 45. And then all of a sudden, then
by
I started sleeping.
By choice or
no,
insomnia?
I'd just wake up. I wouldn't go to sleep. I wasn't tired. I didn't have any ill effects. So obviously, this is something that's individual for each individual person. But obviously, with some of the problems here, technology is a big issue. Particularly if you can stream whatever you want, why go to bed? You know, there's nothing on. That used to be a good excuse to go to bed, but now you can never say there's nothing on because we've got all these streaming channels.
Amy,
I'm a big fan of sleep. I need it, or I can't function or stay healthy.
I love sleep, but I just don't get enough of it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.